Romans chapter 1. I appreciated both those messages this morning. And you should never, never underestimate the value of brevity.
Amen.
I want to apologize for that. You can apologize for the other way, but... I guess most of you know, my family will be moving to Toluca, hopefully this summer. The Lord blesses us with a house. And I'm excited about that. The church in Morelia is doing real well. In fact, it's one of the few bright spots in our horizon at the moment. We've got about 8 street preachers, not counting me and Stephen, there that are being faithful once a week at least to be preaching. And that's good. That's better than it has been for the last 5 or 6 years, you know. So, and some of them are really getting revived. And so we're excited about that work, even though we don't have anyone we're ready to appoint as an elder or anything. But we are a little bit excited about the way things are going in Morelia. And we're excited about going to Toluca. We're excited about getting back together with our old co-workers. And we're excited about Michael and Terry coming over. And we're just excited that the Lord might be getting ready to do something again. And, you know, it's worth seeing the Lord do something, isn't it? So y'all pray for us because we want to see God do something in Toluca as well, as well as all these other works that we're ministering with. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16. It says, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I want to focus on that phrase, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, this is an opinion. Obviously, the most obvious thing we see here is that it's an opinion that the gospel of Christ is positive. It's something good. Paul has the opinion that the gospel of Christ is something good. It's something positive. It makes a change for the better. Something is good about the gospel that would cause Paul to say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, Paul's opinion is significant.
Amen.
I think it was Lee Patton. Well, I heard him say it once, so I don't know whether he made it up or whether he heard it from someone, but Lee Patton, a pastor here in town, he said one time, "Opinions are like armpits. We all have them and they all stink." Well, it's true that opinions, just about everybody has an opinion, but it's not true that they all equally stink. You know, some people's opinions are more important than other people's opinions. I don't remember who it was that said one time, "It's amazing how much ignorance some people can accumulate." You ever talk with somebody who's accumulated a lot of ignorance? Sure you have. Not everybody's opinion is of equal value. Some people's opinions really do stink, and then other people's opinions don't. Well, I believe Paul's opinion here is significant for several reasons. One is Paul was on both sides of the issue.
That's right.
Paul had seen it from both sides. He wasn't born a Christian, and he wasn't just an average ignorant person down the street. He was against the gospel for a good long time. And he went out of his way to oppose the gospel. If anybody knew why people opposed the gospel, it was Paul, because he opposed the gospel. But then at the same time, a little while later, he changed his tune. He got converted, and then all of a sudden, he's on the side of the gospel. So if anybody knows whether or not the gospel is a positive influence in our history or in life, it would be Paul. Much more than someone who's just always been against the gospel. And even much more so than someone who's just always believed the gospel. Obviously, Paul's opinion is significant in this case because he's been on both sides of the issue. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's important that he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There might be other people who are, and there might be other people who aren't. But when I say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul could say, "I've been on both sides of the issue. I've got a good reason for my opinion, and my opinion is significant." I try to tell that to my children sometimes. My opinion is what counts. Your opinion doesn't count. Been on both sides. That's one reason why parents' opinions are more valuable than kids' opinions. Because parents have been kids. Kids haven't been parents yet. So, you know, this is just logical. Parents' opinions are more value than kids. I don't know who it was. Oh yeah, it was my dad forwarded a letter. That's not the punchline. Would you guys get with it? My dad forwarded a letter, I don't know who sent it to him, about comparing all the people who are criticizing this war in Iraq and criticizing the leaders of this country. And they just did like a little comparison, you know, President Bush graduated from Harvard and, you know, headed big companies and won so much of the vote and, you know, did this and did that and all kinds of things. And then somebody's a four-star general's gone to this, that, and the other thing, just right down the line. I'm talking about doctor's degrees and headed up huge international corporations and things like this on the side of being criticized because of the war. And then all the people that are criticizing the war listed out there, their credentials, you know, graduated high school, is an actor and a singer now, you know, or flunked out of community college or flunked the entrance exam to some community college or something, you know, dropped out of acting school in the second year, that kind of thing. Now, why in the world would we listen to people who have absolutely nothing to offer? If they can sing, let's listen to them sing. But we shouldn't be listening to people with opinions about something they cannot possibly know anything about. Not all opinions are equal. Some opinions are more important than others. Another thing is Paul's opinion is significant because he'd been doing it a long time by now. If you start calculating, just calculate when Romans had to have been written, we're talking decades after he got saved. You know, a lot of people, anon with joy, take the gospel and say, wow, this is good, I like it. But that's just real recent. It's just overnight. And you know, a lot of people start off really happy about something, and a little while later, they're not so happy about it.
Right.
It's real easy to be excited about something when you just start off. But if you're still excited 20 years later, that means a little bit more, doesn't it?
Right.
If you say, 20 years ago, I heard the gospel and it's changed my life from 20 years back. Well, that means more than, hey, I got saved yesterday and it feels pretty good. Some people's opinions are more important than others. Now notice another reason why Paul's opinion is significant is that the vast majority of the troubles that Paul had were caused by the gospel. And so when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that means something. His troubles were caused by his troubles were not caused because he was a murderer. They're not caused because he had done a lot of drinking and doping. A lot of our troubles are caused by ourselves. Matter of fact, most of our troubles are caused by ourselves. You can't blame a whole lot of other people for your troubles. And if you can blame them for a small percentage, well, get over it. You've got the rest of the percentage. It's your problem. It's your fault. You can't blame anybody else for your problems. You just have to take responsibility for your own problems and say, this I caused for myself. Well, Paul's problems, he didn't cause for himself. His problems, I'm talking about jail time. I'm talking about probably serious back trouble, Mike. Serious back trouble from getting beat on it so many times. This wasn't because he was unrighteous or he was doing something wrong. It was because he was preaching the gospel and standing up to try to get other people saved. And he had a lot of serious problems because of the gospel. And after 20 years of preaching the gospel and suffering because of it, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is still my primary motive in life. It is still my career. It is still what I look for. It is still my goal. It is still what occupies my mind in the middle of the night. It is still what's important in my mind. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and to the Greek. Wow, Paul had an opinion. It's not like these talk shows where they want everybody's opinions. We don't want everybody's opinions. A lot of people just ought to be quiet. But some people ought to speak up.
Amen.
Well, that's the most obvious thing. Paul had an opinion. And I'm glad he told us his opinion. And I happen to share this opinion. However, there is a problem here. And that's that when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it implies a conflict. It implies that there is some reason to be ashamed of it. There's a conflict here. There's something negative about the gospel. Otherwise, why would he say, I'm not ashamed of it? Whoever says, I'm not ashamed of being honest. Why? There's no shame in being honest. Why would anybody say that? You don't say that about something that's, there's no shame involved, or no blame You only say, I'm not a, you're not like lately in Mexico, I'm an American. And I'm not like some of the missionaries that we sent out here. Everybody can tell I'm an American down there. I mean, I don't blend in. You know, I'm standing down there in León years and years ago, back in Reagan's days. I'm standing down there in León and I'm preaching the gospel and somebody comes up and says, get out of Nicaragua! And I said, well, I'm not in Nicaragua. I'm in Mexico. It happened to be they were doing something in Nicaragua. Americans were doing something in Nicaragua and they just blame me, you know. Well, that's been happening lately too. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like America. There's a lot of people. You know, I can say that I'm not ashamed to be an American. I can say that. And I'm not apologizing for it either. I'm not ashamed to be an American. I know there's a lot of things wrong with America, but I would be a lot more ashamed if I was an Iraqian or if I was, you know, a French or whatever else. They're following me. I'm sorry. If you're French, I am sorry. I didn't intend to go there, you know. Sometimes you're better off just quit while you're ahead, you know. Sometimes you're better off to quit while you're behind. All right, the gospel is negative. You say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because there's something negative about it. Somebody's got a problem with it. Somebody is accusing you because of it. Otherwise, Paul would not have made this statement. The reason why he made this statement is because he recognizes a conflict. There are people who don't like the gospel. In fact, the vast majority of people don't like the gospel. Now, they like it if it's, you know, real soft and never gets to the point. You know, have you ever noticed that some people pray, but they don't mention Jesus' name?
Right.
I've seen pastors on TV pray and they don't say his name. You know the problem with Alcoholics Anonymous? Is they've made God anonymous. What are you talking about? Some supreme being. Some superior power. Who are we talking about? There's a lot of superior powers you don't want to get involved with. We need a name here. Or who are you praying to? And if you're ashamed of the name, well, Jesus will be ashamed of you. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. There's no two ways about it. Now, let me tell you something. There are some brothers that get right on CNN or wherever it is, and they come right out and say, I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, see, that's the difference. They're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but anybody who prays and doesn't mention Jesus' name, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And if you can preach the gospel without mentioning Jesus' name, then you're not preaching the gospel. There is a conflict with the gospel. Wherever you preach, you're going to find more people against you than for you. I don't think I've ever preached anywhere where I had the majority on my side. Matter of fact, normally it's hard to find anybody on my side. The gospel has a very negative aspect. A lot of people have reason to be angry at you if you believe the gospel. And the truth is, the gospel is pretty negative about just about every other religion. You ever heard somebody say, I just think all religion is good? I have a hard time thinking of any religion that's good.
Right.
I mean, any religion. Whoever says that's not thinking clear. All religion is good? What about the religions that kill babies? Like we just sang that song. Said some lady turned from a sacred string and threw her baby in there. That's not a good religion. I was talking to a young girl. She was really into feminism. She was just all into women's liberation. And this is in Mexico where it's not really happened yet. So she was just all gung-ho for women's lib. And then she made this mistake of saying, well, I just think all religions are good. I said, well, how about Mormons? They believe you can have more than one wife. Well, okay, maybe not that one. Well, how about Muslim? They believe you can have more than one wife. Okay, maybe not that one. Not all religions are good. The fact is, when we preach the gospel, we're preaching a very, very negative point of view. We're preaching negative about human nature. We're preaching negative about the end of this world. We're preaching negative about who governs this world. We're preaching negative about your motivations. About your sins. We're preaching negative about your mommy and your daddy. There's a whole lot of embarrassment that comes along with preaching the gospel. There is a conflict. That's why Paul had to say to these Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There might be a lot of people who are, and there might be some people who think I have a reason to be ashamed, but you know, the fact is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
There's another thing I want to say, and that's that this is a Christian conflict. There's no conflict in the world. I'm not ashamed of being Russian, because I'm not Russian. Only people who can be ashamed of the gospel is somebody associated with it. So, when Paul is telling these Christians, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, what he's saying is, Christians often are ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
And I'm not.
Amen.
All right, you understand it?
Amen.
This is a Christian problem.
Right.
The world might hate the gospel, but they're not ashamed of it. They might think it's a horrible thing, and they might blame you, but they're not ashamed of the gospel. Who is ashamed of the gospel? Christians. People who believe it. Now, I know this because I was ashamed of the gospel. Now, let me tell you, there's a difference between being ashamed of yourself and being ashamed of the gospel. I was ashamed of myself, too. I remember when I really did believe in Jesus, and I really did believe the gospel, and I really did believe the Bible, and I really did pray, and yet I couldn't tell anybody that I was a Christian because my life didn't match up. I would have done more damage to the gospel if I'd have told anybody. I was ashamed of my own sin. You know, there's a problem with testimonies. What Willie Cosby sometimes calls bragamonies, where people, you know, people get saved, gloriously saved, and sin before you're saved becomes glorified. I mean, the deeper you were, the more glorious your testimony. I mean, the more you've sinned, the more you adulterated, the more drugs you took, the more you drank, the more people you killed. Well, that's just a better testimony. I mean, you get more amens when you preach. I remember that very clearly. A whole lot of people preached while I was growing up. And I'm telling you, I knew that it was no shame to be a sinner before you're saved. It was a glory. But I committed just about all my sins being saved. And I also knew that there was no glory in committing sins when you're saved. It's a shame. I was ashamed of my sin after I'm saved. Now, that's why a lot of people get saved twice or three times. Because there's a whole lot of shame involved in saying, I was a Christian, I knew what I was doing, and I sinned. But if you could say, well, you know, I never was saved, and now I'm gloriously saved, and before I got saved, boy, was I a sinner. There's not near as much shame there. I'm talking about real things, people. I'm talking about something that really happens, and your children are going through it. If your children are raised in church, they're going through it. I went through it, and I know our children go through it because they don't have this glorious testimony. And every single sin they do is a shame. But all these preachers get up here and say, man, I was a drug addict and a drug dealer, and I killed I don't know how many people, and I spent 10 years in jail, and then God gloriously saved me, and now look at me. And they can't have that kind of testimony. And so they feel left out. Maybe what they got's not real. Let me tell you something. Sin is a shame whether you were saved or not.
That's right. Yeah.
You ought to be ashamed of killing. Matter of fact, if you kill somebody, you don't even deserve to be alive.
Amen.
You deserve to be dead.
Amen.
You ought to be ashamed of your sin. It's not bragamonies. This is just plain sorry. Paul was ashamed of his sin. He said, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. That's the way Paul thought about his sin, and you ought to be just exactly as ashamed of your sin, whether you were saved as an adult or as a child. It's the same exact shame, because there's not one of you that didn't know you were doing wrong.
Amen.
You knew you were doing wrong.
Amen.
I'm telling you, people have heard the law from every religion. They know the law. They know it's a crime to steal, to commit adultery, to fornication, to be so undisciplined, to be a drug addict. Everybody knows. I don't care if you're Catholic or Jehovah's Witness or Muslim or atheist. You know it's wrong.
Amen.
And if you know it's wrong, it's a shame that you went down that road.
Amen.
And if God gloriously saved you, still be ashamed of your sin anyway.
Amen.
And make sure everybody knows you're ashamed of your sin. Don't glorify it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just glorifying the world. You're glorifying sin. And these bragamonies do not help.
Amen.
Yet there is a glory in being saved, isn't there?
Amen.
And there's just a glory. I mean, couldn't Paul say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because look what it's done for me.
Right.
This is a powerful testimony where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But there are a lot of Christians who are. Now, being ashamed of your sin, that's one thing, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed of the truth, being afraid to say you're a Christian in high school. I was that way. And not just because I was a horrible sinner, sorry, rebellious kid. I was ashamed of the gospel. I'm not real sure why to this day, but I was ashamed. I was ashamed. I still have a real hard time telling people just in casual conversation that I'm a Christian. Even still to this day, I don't feel comfortable around people. I'm not a good soul winner. That's why I like hanging up with Roland and John and Joey and Brent, because these people are soul winners. And I'm just a little bit timid. I'm kind of shy. Now, when it comes out to preaching, I'm not shy. But when it comes to talking one-on-one with somebody, I'm a little shy. I know that's hard for y'all to believe, but it's true. I put on a good act. I have a hard time with my neighbors. I don't have a hard time with the people on the other side of town, but I have a hard time with my neighbors. I don't know if any of you feel this way, but that's my problem. There is a shame involved among Christians over the gospel of Christ. And I bet you every single one of you have felt it. You're just not saying amen. Shame on you. Somebody ought to help me out here. The fact is, there is a shame among Christians over the gospel of Christ.
Right.
They don't want to say, you know, I remember very clearly thinking that I was just basically the only Christian in my high school. I guess I was a junior and somebody gave me a tract in high school. Actually, it wasn't a tract. It was a little, looked like a business card with a bunch of squiggly lines on it. And if you looked past it, you could see the name Jesus on it. It was this cute little thing, you know. But I saw the name Jesus and I realized, okay, these people, somebody, Christian or something, Catholic maybe, I don't know. But they gave me this little tract. And I remember thinking, what about my testimony? I'd never given a tract to anybody. I remember being very favorably impressed by certain people in another high school that were outspoken, clear Christians, had a good testimony. They endured a lot of mocking. They had a lot of mocking. They had a lot of shame, blame, I should say. They didn't appear to be ashamed, but they felt the shame. They had to put up with the reproach of Christ. That's the word I'm looking for. There was a reproach to being a Christian. They put up with it. I didn't. Now, I can say that now I agree with Paul. Even though I still understand the motivation. Why is there a shame in the gospel of Christ among Christians? Why are we ashamed to stand out on the street and preach? Why are we ashamed to just pass out tracts everywhere we go? Not everybody is, perhaps. Maybe some of you have more boldness in this area. But a whole lot of us Christians have a problem with shame about the gospel of Christ. We don't want to be open, or especially not too open, about the gospel. I appreciate every single person who is a bold witness for the Lord, because they've overcome the shame that is inherent among Christians about the gospel of Christ. There's not a thing to be ashamed of about the gospel of Christ. We've got no reason to be ashamed. There is no competition. Now, a lot of people have bowled you over, perhaps, and made you think. You know, there's always somebody that's going to come across as real intelligent, real smart, and they'll bowl you over. They'll make you think that they're smarter than you. And the truth is, maybe they are smarter than you. But God takes the wise in their own craftiness. They're not the smartest ever. There's somebody always smarter. That's why you really ought to be careful, young people, young men, about defending yourself and thinking, I'm big, I'm a bully, I can beat anybody up I want. You got to be careful, because there's always somebody that can beat you up. That's why you also ought to be careful about gambling. You go get into a poker game, well, there's somebody who's going to clean your socks. They're going to take you for everything you've got, because there's always somebody smarter than you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. All right, why? Well, the first thing, you have to stop and think, why are Christians ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Not of their sin, not of their failures. Ashamed of the very positive truth that Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins and rose again from the grave on the third day and therefore justifies all who believe on Him. Why are Christians ashamed of that? It all boils down to a very, very simple little principle. You're interested in other people's opinions. That's all. You are interested. You're worried about somebody else's opinion. You think that that fellow's opinion must be important. You don't know him from Adam. You've never seen him before in your life, but you think his opinion's important, and so you don't want to look bad to him. And that's why you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's why I am, whenever I am, it's because I value somebody else's opinion about me. Now stop and think about this, brethren. These people are every bit as ignorant or more ignorant than you are. And I don't remember who said this either. I'm not getting anybody's credit right. But somebody said, everybody's ignorant, just depends on the subject. Everybody's ignorant, it just depends upon the subject. So, what are you worried about their opinion over? When he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, He's saying, I care about other people's opinion more than these people's. There's a whole lot of people who want to pretend that the gospel is no good, that the gospel is a lie, that the gospel is just a way for ministers to get money. They got all kinds of reasons that they're going to make you ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But their opinion cannot be more important than the opinion of God.
Amen.
John, one time, we were going to this one blue tarp market, open air market, and these folks were pretty rough with us. They did a lot of pushing, knocking our Bibles out of our hands, threatening, screaming, hollering, wouldn't let us preach, throwing guayabas at us, and we made a point of going there every week even so. And so we're standing there preaching, and every single time they're giving us trouble. And John says, man, he says, I just don't know how to do that. I don't know how. I get scared. He said, how do you do it? And I said, well, you know, I just realized that Jesus is watching me preach. And if there's a crowd of people there, Jesus is standing there somewhere, and he's watching me preach. And I just preach to him because I want him to hear. It's not for them, it's for him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because Jesus isn't. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because God isn't. His opinion is more important. And when the day is over, his opinion is still going to stand. You don't find anybody in heaven ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Think about the angels. Don't you value the angels' opinions more than people's opinions down here? Angels can see a whole lot more than we can see, and their opinion is more important than ours, of course. And if their opinion is more important than ours, why don't you value their opinion? It has to do with understanding that the people who know are not ashamed of it. I think about just men made perfect. I like that phrase, just men made perfect. Did you know there are just men who are not perfect? And then there are just men who have been made perfect. That means Christians who have already gone on. They're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what they're saying? They're saying, preach it. Amen, they're saying. Yeah, amen, I like to hear it. Say it again. Preach it again. And you know, all you can hear is this deafening roar of, cállate, vete al diablo, and this kind of thing. All you can hear is someone saying, ah, shut up, or keep it down, or I'm trying to sleep. And yet you're not hearing those angels and those just men that are made perfect. You're not hearing old Elijah saying, amen, preach it, brother. You're not hearing Noah saying, keep on going, bring it on down, or whatever people say. Bring it up or bring it down, or I don't know how do you... What's Texas for amen, you know? Yeehaw! You know? I'm telling you, there's somebody that's shouting amen somewhere. You just can't hear them. I mean, they're having a hallelujah party every time you open your mouth and stand right in front of the devil and say Jesus Christ died for sinners. Well, what about the devil? You know, he can't handle the gospel. It completely takes away everything from him. Even the evil, evil, wicked angels, even those demon-possessed people who are saying these are the servants of the Most High God, they weren't ashamed. They were whipped by it. Why in the world would we be ashamed because we worry about the opinion of just a few billion people? All of them ignorant, every one. Morons, one and all. What about sinners that have been condemned already? You know what they're saying? They're saying, preach the gospel.
Amen.
They're saying, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Preach the gospel. That story about the rich man went to hell. He says, I got five brothers. Somebody go and tell them too.
Amen.
He didn't say, you know, listen, old Father Abraham, would you please pray for world peace? Would you help us, Lord? Father Abraham, would you send somebody down there to stop all the wars? Give them cures for all their diseases? All he said was, send somebody to my father's house. Tell them this about this place. Don't let them come here. That is an amazing thought. The fact that sinners who are condemned are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They want you to speak about it. They want you to open your mouth and preach about it. They want you to take that ugly face of yours and put it out in front of everybody and say, Jesus Christ saves souls. That's all it is. They are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why are you? Why am I? Because we're worried about the wrong people's opinions. What about men and women of faith? There are a whole bunch of men and women of faith in this world, in this life. They have faith, and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why in the world would I be worried about people who are ignorant? People who've never known both sides. They've never known the joy of salvation or forgiveness of sins. They've never had a hallelujah party. They don't understand what it means to shout glory and sing a good song and the Holy Spirit come down and just fill us all. They don't have any idea. Why are we worried about their opinions when there's a whole bunch of Christians who've had the experience and they know that God, that this gospel is real and it changes people's lives and they know this. Why wouldn't you worry about their opinion more? Man, I think about Dale right now. What do you think he's saying? He's saying, just keep on preaching. I think about all the Christians all over this world who are suffering. They feel like they're alone, but they're preaching still. I think about that time me and my dad, well, it's actually the whole family, we went back to Roswell, New Mexico, and I remember as a young man walking into the room of the fella that visited him and wound up getting him saved. And I remember that fella still going on for the Lord, and I'm thinking, why would I worry about somebody else's opinion when that guy would be saying, just keep on preaching.
Amen.
You see, you got your mind set on the wrong people. You've got to get a hold of the people who know and whose opinion matters. You need to know who it is that's for the gospel and who's against it. And don't worry about those that are against it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says. Because there's men and women of faith, of courage, that are going on for the gospel, and they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But that's not what he said exactly. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's power. It's power. My goodness, it's power. It's power to save souls. You know why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because souls get saved.
Right.
People get changed. Now, you know, there is a power just plain in truth. And the gospel is truth. It's just plain, simple truth. And matter of fact, it is the demand that you accept the truth. No more lies, no more fake. You know, humans are liars by nature. Not only do we lie to each other, we lie to ourselves. We fool ourselves. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, we fool ourselves. We actually start believing our own lies. You tell a story enough times and you'll start believing that's what really happened. It'll all start affecting your memory. You'll remember it that way. It's an amazing thing how we are so full of lies. How we can fool ourselves into thinking this is somebody else's fault or I didn't do that. Or it's an incredible thing that we can be such liars. You know what the healing power of the gospel is? It says, accept the truth. Finally, one day, come to your senses and realize you're at fault. Your parents are wrong. You've got to change. It's nobody else's fault. You've got to accept the truth. You know what the healing power of truth is? My goodness, it'll change your life. Just admit you're the one that's wrong. Don't do it just to do it. Admit it. Realize it in your heart. Recognize you're the one that's wrong. You're the one that's done wrong. You are the problem. You are your own problem. You are your own worst enemy. And once you realize that, you can actually climb out of that hole.
Amen.
Because there's a power in truth. You cannot imagine the power in truth. Someday you just got to say, I give up. I'm fighting and I have no reason to be fighting. I got nobody else to blame. I have got to tell the truth. You watch out for lies because you wind up lying to yourself and you hurt everybody around you and it's a hole you just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, harder and harder to get out of. All you got to do is tell the truth. Wipe away all those cobwebs of lies and come out with the truth. Lord, I'm the sinner. Lord, I'm the one at fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my teacher's fault. It's not my government's fault. It's my fault. You were right. You say there's a hell, you're right. You say there's a heaven, you're right. You say it's a sin to fornicate, you're right. You say drinking is a sin, you're right. Everything you say is right. That's the power of the gospel. Because it's the power of truth. But there's more than that. There is a power in the gospel that comes from His Holy Spirit that all who believe receive that Holy Spirit. And I mean it changes heaven and earth. It changes in heaven. Your name is written down in heaven and you are justified from all your sins. God does no longer impute sins unto you. You are considered His. He adopts you. He takes you into His family and that is real. We're not talking about theory. We're talking about something real. It really changes heaven. But let me tell you something. It changes earth too. You might have all kinds of problems in this life, but the gospel gives you the power to overcome. The gospel gives you power to beat your vices.
Amen.
It gives you power to beat your lies. It gives you power to stand up and change your life. It gives you the power to be transformed into His likeness. It changes heaven and earth. And that's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto all that believe, Jew or Greek. Let's pray. Lord, I'm sorry for ever being ashamed of your gospel. Lord, you're right and we're wrong, and we want to live and serve you, Lord. We want to never be ashamed of your gospel, because it is the power of God. It has changed our lives and it has changed thousands of others. Lord, I ask you to bless. If there's some soul here that has not been saved, that does not know the power of the gospel to change his life, Lord, I ask you to touch that person right now. You'd have mercy upon him. You'd have mercy on her. You'd give them that assurance, Lord, by your word, that it's a power that can change their lives and give them a relationship with you. Lord, I ask you to bless this conference. I ask you to bless the preaching. Lord, I ask you to bless our hearts. I ask you to be with us, Lord, and stand with us in this conference, because we're here to exalt the gospel. We're here to exalt your commission, Lord, that we should preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, we ask you to come back soon. We ask you, Lord, to fill us with this power that's going to transform the world, Lord. We ask you to come and be glorified. I ask your blessing upon this time, this now, this right now, this time, this meeting, and these hearts. I ask you in Jesus' name.